There are certain key words in the Torah that often are the harbinger of things to come, that you could tell just by the word that the Torah is using what kind of parsha is about to be introduced. So the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Amud Beis tells us that one such word is the word Vayihi. The Gemara says, "Davizem mesoros biyadenu me'anshei knesset hagdola," that we have a mesorah from the anshei knesset hagdola. Kol makom shenemar vayihi enu el lashon tsar. When the Torah is about to introduce something that involves tsaros, that involves pain, that involves suffering, it starts the parsha with the word vayihi, and then you know what's coming. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, and what's coming? Haman is coming. Vayihi bimei Shvor Hashoftim. What's coming? Famine is coming. And on the Gemara gives example after example. Finally, the Gemara says, but wait a second, aren't there several positive vayihis? That it says, vayihi bayom hashmini, and v'tanya osa yom haisa simcha levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyom shenivru bo shemayim va'aretz, on the day of Chanukah Samishka, and it says, vayihi, and it was a very happy day for Klal Yisrael. It says, vayihi erev vayihi voker yom echad. And so there's very, very happy days. These are very positive things. So the Gemara says, yeah, well, we have to modify the rule a little bit. Whenever it says Vayihi Bimei, it's always a Lashon of Tsar. Vayihi could go either way, but Vayihi Bimei is always a Lashon of Tsar. And it says there are five times it says Vayihi Bimei, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh, Vayihi Bimei Shvor Hashoftim, Vayihi Bimei Amrafel, Vayihi Bimei Achas, Vayihi Bimei Yoyakim. All of them are always Lashon Tsar. Now, from the entire discussion, there's one very important Vayihi that's missing. I mean, when the Gemara wanted to say that, come on, how can you tell me every Vayihi is bad? The first Vayihi I would have mentioned that was actually positive and was very good, in fact, was really the birth of Klal Yisrael, I would have said is Vayihi b'shalach Paro esa'am. Paro sends Klal Yisrael, that's Kriyas Yamsuf. That's amazing. The Gemara doesn't ask that kasha. The Gemara starts asking from all over the place, but Vayihi eshechad min armasim, you know, from Shmuel, from all over. What about Vayihi b'shalach Paro esa'am? How does that not make the list? So it's true. The Gemara concludes Vayihi is sometimes positive, sometimes negative, but why doesn't the Gemara prove it from this pasuk? So the Gemara apparently assumes that there must be some tsar associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with Kriyas Yamsuf. How could that possibly be? Second kasha. Realizing how fragile our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu implements a plan to keep the Jewish people in the fold and to avoid any sort of terribly irrational desire to go back to Mitzrayim. So Vayihi b'shalach paru esa'am v'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim ki karov hu ki amar elokim pen yinach imam berosu milchama v'shavu Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes up with a plan. The problem that the plan is to bring them in a circuitous route so that people aren't going to see the war and decide, you know what, let me just head back to Mitzrayim, let me just go back to where I came from. The problem with that plan is that it seems to be very counterintuitive. If you take people on a long circuitous journey in a desert where they're going to be faced with constant hardships and not even understand where they're going, why they're going where they're going, what kind of plan there is for them, aren't they more likely to start waxing nostalgic about the good old days in Mitzrayim? A longer trip through the desert, l'chora, should make it worse for them, not better for them. I mean, if you're worried that they're going to get nostalgic and want to return to Mitzrayim, I would think, so bring them right into Israel. Just go. You know, get them there as fast as you can. Because Baruch Hu dafka takes them on a circuitous journey as a way of trying to avoid that kind of desire. And third kasha, this week is called Shabbos Shira. I'm sure on Tuesday many of you got emails about the Gevaldika Skula. If you say the Parshas Haman without any Kavana and you tap on the knock on wood three times and you whatever, then all your world's problems are going to be solved. So this week is called Shabbos Shira, though, because we experienced something unbelievable as a nation that led us to spontaneous song and spontaneous praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment of Kriyas Yamsuf was so overwhelming, it was so transcendent, that even people who were completely uninitiated in prophecy and nevuah, they never experienced any sort of prophetic vision before, not only experienced prophecy, not only did they experience nevuah, they experienced nevuah to a higher level than some of our most veteran and accomplished nevi'im. Rasa shivcha alayam, mashalo ra nevi'im b'nevuasam. Stam a shivcha, a nobody, someone who never experienced any sort of spiritual accomplishment. Al Hayam by Kriyas Yamsuf, it was such an overwhelming experience. She saw things that the Nevi'im, the Medrash says, that Yecheskel ben Buzi didn't see in his Nevuos. The Navi Yecheskel didn't see. So the question obviously is, what was it about Kriyas Yamsuf that impressed them so much, or that allowed them to rise to such a level? Weren't there enough shows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, in Mitzrayim itself, was Eser Makos not impressive enough? Think, just contemplate for a moment what Eser Makos was actually like. Instead of just like reading it through as a story, think, imagine living in a country where some of that stuff is going on. Just take Makos Dam. Imagine living in a country where all the blood is turning to water, except for some small tribe of wackos who you've been enslaving for a while, who every time they pick up the cup of blood, all of a sudden it turns into water. Can you imagine what that was like? Is that not a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, I like these guys, I don't like these guys? How does that not impress you? Why is it that we have to wait for Kriyas Yamsuf for the Shivcha to say, wow, Zekeli Van Veyu, I see a Kodesh Baruch Hu now. What were we missing before Kriyas Yamsuf? So I saw that in Mishkan Betzalel, Rabbi Rudzinski explains that Chazal included the story of Kriyas Yamsuf as a central part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. I mean, one might have thought that Kriyas Yamsuf is a postscript to Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a different chapter in Jewish history. It's part of the desert chapter. Yitzias Mitzrayim is with Eser Makos. Once we're out, I would think, okay, we're out. Yitzias Mitzrayim belongs with the Man, the Be'er, Anani HaKavod. It's the Sukkot chapter. It's not the Pesach chapter. Kriyas Yamsuf, rather, should be part of the Sukkot chapter. Why is it part of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Apparently, the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim is only meaningful if you have a Kriyas Yamsuf. What do we mean by that? Part of the reason that we had Golus Mitzrayim was a seeming lack of emuna on the part of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu asks, "Bame'ida ki rashana? How do I know that my children are going to inherit this land?" And whatever level, however we explain what that means, Avram Avinu having some sort of chisaron, but apparently the only way to rectify that was through an odyssey in Emuna. It was through this training grounds in Emuna. So the entire Yetzias Mitzrayim story is peppered with references such as Leman Teidu Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. You should realize there is a Ribono Shel Olam that runs the world. Yetzias Mitzrayim was only complete when we could finally say Zekeli Van Veyu. When we can finally say about Klal Yisrael, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Prior to that, there is no Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim isn't met. So Rabbi Rudzinski explains with the famous story. They tell the story of Akiva Eger was once dealing with a man who he had ordered to give a get to his wife, and the man refused. Rabbi Akiva Eger said, look, I know a Mishnah. He isha kona atzma beget u'bemisa sabal. A woman can be kona atzma, she can get free from her husband with a get or with misa sabal. So Hashem wants your wife to be free from igun, that's the ratzon habore. So you have a choice, you could do it on your terms, you could do it on Kadosh Baruch Hu's terms. And the man apparently said, I refuse, what kind of threat is that? And he walked out and suffered a fatal heart attack. And the point of the story is, whether it's a true story or not is irrelevant, but the point of the story is that there are many times that Hashem will allow us to have a sense that we are doing something, that we are accomplishing something. But in reality, everything is being accomplished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're pawns on Hashem's giant chessboard. And if we refuse to make the move is still going to happen. It will just be without our input. It will be without our attempt to make it happen. So there are two ways to look at Yetzias Mitzrayim. One way to look at Mitzrayim is that Paro didn't want to let us go, but Hashem is stronger than Paro, so Hashem beat the Gesundheit out of Paro until Paro said, okay, fine, you can go. Right, it was a battle between these two titans, or one midget and one titan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu won. HaKadosh Baruch Hu overpowered Paro. Another way to look at it is that Paro was a pawn the entire time. Paro's nothing. Paro doesn't do anything. He doesn't accomplish anything. He's a pawn of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was taking his people out. Paro wasn't sending them out. Had Paro continued to refuse, our exit still would have proceeded as planned. It had nothing to do with Paro. At the end of the day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, we were going to go. Paro was just, he was giving the Paro the opportunity to say, yeah, go. But what Paro wanted it was totally irrelevant, really. He was a pawn on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's board. Now, based on this, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to let it be known that Hashem controls everything. The first level of Emunah is not sufficient. To know that Hashem could beat up Paro, we have to achieve more than that. We have to achieve a Hakara. It's not that Hashem could beat up Paro. It's that Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing in this world other than the Ribono Shel Olam. There's nothing that gets accomplished in this world outside of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the point. So the Parsha starts, Vayihi b'shalach Paro asa'am. And the tsar signified by Vayihi is precisely that we viewed it as B'shalach Paro es ha'am. That at that stage, we still thought Paro sent us out. That's the tzar. That if you were to stop the Jew on the way out of Mitzrayim, who sent you out? We would have said, Paro finally freed us. That's a tzar, when the Jew has to look at Paro and say, he sent me out. The Gra explains that tzar of Ayihi in general is that Yihi is a future tense, and when the vav is added, it becomes past tense. When we look ahead at changing circumstances and still view them from the perspective of yesterday, when we bring the future into the past, that's a tragedy. We need to grow up in our worldview and our outlook to the extent that if yesterday we viewed ourselves as slaves to Paro, we need to be ready to view ourselves as completely under Hashem's control now. We need to allow our outlook to mature. The circuitous route that we took through the desert was intended to have the experience of the man, the Anani HaKavod, the experience of seeing how clearly everything was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an exercise in ridding us of the Paro mentality, bringing us into HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentality. So it wasn't going to ruin our emunah, make us more vulnerable and say, I want to go back. No. The more we experience man and anani akavod, the more we experience direct hashkacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we realize that there's the einol milvado, there is nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Hashem's plan. And that's why the Shivcha Aliyam did not experience the same turning point in Emuna while still in Mitzrayim that she did at the Yam. In Mitzrayim, we say, we saw Hashem beating up Paro. At Kriyas Yamsuf, we understood who really calls the shots. That was Vayaminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. That's why, where does Rashi say, Rasa Shivcha Aliyam on the Pasuk? Ze Keli Va'an Ve'yu. This is it. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with clarity. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs things, and we have to do our best to work within the system and to try to make him happy with doing positive things for us. But we have to realize at the end of the day, our efforts are our efforts. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one else is in control of our success and failures in any given effort that we make other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu.